Clare Means Business, a Clare FM exclusive podcast with Josh Prenderville.
You're very welcome to another episode of Clare Means Business here on Clare FM. It's Josh Prenderville here with you. Plenty to unpack in the next 20 minutes or so. Whether it's a walk you're on, or you have us on in the kitchen or the car or wherever you may be, there'll be more than enough of your up-to-date news from the business world of Clare and elsewhere to get you through the next few minutes. I suppose, as we know, it's been a devastating year, unfortunately, for almost all sectors of the economy, including here locally. We're hoping, really, that we're going to get back to some sort of normality throughout the summer. But where it's been particularly difficult, it can be argued here in Clare, is in Shannon. The impact on the aviation industry, for example, has been catastrophic. However, there is cause for optimism in the area. Local representatives and stakeholders have last week seen a draft master plan for the vision of the medium and long-term future of the town. With me to chat about that and much more is Shannon Chamber CEO Helen Downes. Helen, before we get into that master plan and other things, how are you looking back on the last year or so and the challenges it's presented to you, the Chamber and many businesses across Shannon and Clare?
I suppose as the CEO of a Chamber of Commerce who's doing business in Shannon for over 20 years, we've had to adapt like every other business and every other sector to actually manage a very difficult and a very challenging and a very new environment and landscape. It's been an extremely active year with regard to organising and running webinars with topics that have been of interest to our members and the wider business community. So we've been delivering an expansive suite of training programs throughout the year, and we'll continue to do this. And this has been supported by funding that we had secured and continue to secure through Skillnet Ireland. And I suppose even if I look at that piece of what we do as a chamber, there has never been a year that we've been as busy rolling out training to support the businesses across every sector, which has been amazing. And separate to that then, I mean, we've had a height of increased engagement with the CEOs of our CEO forum, with the HR forum network, with the Midwest Lean network. So there's a huge amount of ongoing engagement on different issues throughout the whole year. And that continues, Josh, which is great because it means that we're relevant to the business community across all sectors. But there has been huge challenges, and some businesses have obviously had to leave their offices and continue to work from home. And with the multiple sectors that were, I suppose, that are based in Shannon, a lot of those have been impacted from the get-go. And I talk about the aviation industry. It has been absolutely challenged and to some extent decimated since early March time. But when we look at where and what the next step is, for some of those businesses, the government are hugely supportive with some of the rates waivers that they've extended for the last year, with the pandemic supports that they've offered to companies to keep employees on the books, essentially, and to maintain a business as usual activity. And hopefully that'll continue into this year. And that's would be our expectation, Josh, that the government will continue to support businesses across all sectors as much as they can between now and the end of this year, until we review again what 2022 is going to look like.
Yes, and I suppose you mentioned the challenges there, but that said, there have been some positive elements in Shannon just in the last few months alone. Just off the top of my own head, I mean, very recently Shannon Technical Services announced a number of new jobs, Exeter did, but before that as well. So I suppose it hasn't all been negative for the Shannon area. It's important to point that out.
Not at all. And you're right to point out Exeter and STS have recently announced an expansion or the development of their business activity in Shannon, which is great for Shannon. It also gives you confidence that we're still open for business and we can offer a property solution.
Is it a vote of confidence in the area, Helen? I mean, it must be a boost to know that the companies like that, in spite of everything going on, are still willing to invest and upgrade, I suppose, the offering that they're bringing to the Shannon area in particular, that they're happy to stay and grow in Shannon.
Absolutely. And if you look at the history of Shannon, Shannon has been in a position where it's attracted multi-sectorial businesses for many years. And STS to announce 130 jobs in the recent past has been a tremendous vote of confidence that they're confident in locating in Shannon, they're confident in expanding in Shannon, they're confident with the skills that are coming out of this region. So it is a vote of confidence, and hopefully we'll see more of that evolving. And especially in this sector, because this sector has been so hard, hit so hard in the last 12 plus months. So I would again acknowledge Ben Whelan's I suppose support and also investment in Shannon as a key location to establish that business.
Just going back to the Exceda announcement, if you don't mind, that was obviously done in conjunction with work, ongoing work in terms of liaising with the IDA. Is that a key priority for yourselves and others, I suppose, looking to bring business into Shannon in the next number of years, that we look at that, I suppose, that FDI stream? And I know there has been suggestions before that maybe that is something that maybe Shannon can look to build on in the next couple of years, that trying to attract some of those international companies into the area as the town hopefully expands, which we'll get to in a while.
Look, we know that IDA's strategy is to support the regions, and we do engage with Martin Shanahan's office, the CEO of IDA, not as frequent as we do with Will Cochran, the regional IDA manager. We do need IDA to actually make sure that we remain part of any itinerary, part of any scheduled itinerary coming into the region, Josh. And we are seeing the virtual itineraries actually replacing the physical itineraries, which is great because it shows that IDA, like every other business, has had to pivot, but they've still got, you know, a focus on developing the regions. And very happy to speak to Will Cochran on a regular basis to say that they're very happy with the current existing investment here, and they're seeing some inflow of the virtual itineraries. And we know from some of the businesses already established in Shannon, Josh, that they're part of the itinerary, the virtual itineraries that are happening, which is great because, as IDA did in the past, you use, you know, and showcase some of what's happening in the region with your existing clients. So we'd be very confident that IDA has this region and all of the other regions well-placed to actually convert maybe some future investments. And remember, Edward Life Sciences, Josh, it took 15 years to convert them as an investment in this region, and the amount of jobs they're creating is phenomenal.
If I can go back to aviation just for a second, and I suppose Shannon has almost been almost like an actor in a film that's been typecast to a certain extent. I would imagine when a lot of people do think of Shannon, they think of the aviation sector. They think of those kind of jobs, for example, that Shannon Technical Services can provide. But in terms of companies, and you mentioned Edward Life Sciences there, Exceda and others, while I appreciate how important the aviation industry is to Shannon and will continue to be for years and years to come, is part of the long-term strategy for the town and the development of the town maybe looking to diversify from the industry almost, while not playing down the importance of it and the role of the airport in the medium to long-term future of the town, maybe looking to other industries to play their part in that development as well?
I suppose going back to when I was, you know, first appointed as CEO, I think the perception sometimes that Shannon was primarily aviation, and in actual fact, Shannon is quite multi-sectorial. And you have companies like Element 6, well-established, obviously, EI Electronics and Indigenous companies, High Life Tools, which is now PTT Tools. So the diversity of business in Shannon is quite broad, which is great because it gives people who are coming out of the universities and the LITs an opportunity to look at the choice that they have to base themselves and to choose a career within the sectors that are based in Shannon. So Shannon has got a great portfolio, if you want to call it, of companies that are well established and in growth mode. And I'll use EI Electronics as an example, a company that's now extending its current operations, I think, by 20,000 square foot. I was down there only this week with Mick Guinea, not necessarily to see the operation, but for a business meeting. Yeah. The build out that they have commissioned during a year where business is challenged is unbelievable in terms of talent, and they're set for growth, which is phenomenal.
If I can move on to something slightly separate, I know not so long ago that just before the end of last year, if I remember rightly, that yourselves in the Shannon Chamber submitted your own submission as regards a part of the new transport plan for the Limerick and Shannon area, and part of that submission, as I understand it, was to support the potential for a light rail network to be built around the Shannon area. I suppose, why did the Chamber feel like that would be so important for the development of the town, and how do you feel it could add to it from a business point of view in terms of maybe attracting other businesses to potentially expand and settle in the Shannon area?
I suppose, first off, Josh, to set the scene, the Limerick-Shannon Metropolitan Area Transport Plan, it sets a framework for investment in transport for Limerick-Shannon metropolitan area for the next 20 years. So initially, I believe that the light rail wasn't included. It wasn't provided in the first draft of the strategic plan. But we're expecting this to be reversed. And I suppose the second draft is due to be, I think, released in the coming months. And we believe that the section on rail in the next draft will greatly strengthen with some indication of what is feasible regarding the provision of a rail link to Shannon. And when we're transitioning to a low carbon economy, this is probably the right direction to go, Josh. So we're hoping to see the second draft in the next few months. And we've been engaging with the National Transport Authority with, again, making more observations. So we're confident that it would be included in the next draft, and hopefully it'll stay in the next draft, which is the important thing.
And speaking of draft plans, I know very recently that yourselves and local representatives from the Shannon metropolitan area as well have been presented the draft master plan for Shannon, which has been a long time in the making, really, but from Clare County Council. I suppose we haven't spoken to you since then, from what I remember. Just first of all, your own impressions on it and what you've seen. Are you satisfied that it goes far enough in terms of a medium to long term plan for Shannon as a whole?
Okay, just to set the scene, I mean, for anybody listening to this, look, the Shannon Town Master Plan will guide the development spatially and economically of the town centre. It's not a statutory plan, but there has been significant engagement with Shannon Chamber, our members, external stakeholders, with Brian McCarthy in the planning department and other stakeholders within the Clare County Council, including the consultants. So a working draft was presented, which was really important. And this was done after the elected representatives had received their presentation last week. Out of respect of the process and the other stakeholders who are due to be met shortly, I don't really want to elaborate on the detail of the plan. However, Shannon Chamber is hugely confident that the plan that was presented to us and the initiatives that were proposed, Josh, will have a significant positive effect on the town centre and in particular on Shannon Town. So we endorse the plan. From the presentation, the master plan team have appeared to have listened, certainly, and have taken all of the issues that we at Shannon Chamber and the wider stakeholders presented to them during our consultation. So again, we're quite confident that the plan presented to us is finalised. And in particular, if all the agencies, as was involved in Shannon, collaborate, the master plan, we hope, will stimulate development in the town centre and also obtain funding. So it's great to have engaged with Brian and his team, and that's been from the very early stages. Now we want to see a plan that's accepted after public consultation, I believe, Josh. That's going to happen in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
And then moving towards the final plan, we're hoping that we can actually see it executed and that there would be essentially a project manager or a project team that would actually work on the development of when things are going to happen over the next few years.
Absolutely. And I suppose I just want to ask you lastly, I appreciate you don't want to go into the detail of the plan for the reasons that you've outlined, but just your own view on the importance of actually having that plan in place, as you say, if it does go through public consultation processes and all the rest of it, because Shannon at the moment doesn't have a working plan in place. And I suppose going forward for the medium to long term development of the town, I would imagine yourself in the chamber, whatever about the content of the plan, the fact that there would be a plan and a strategic direction in place for the town over the coming years would be very important.
Look, any business, any location, and Shannon needs a plan, and it's great to see a plan kind of evolving or emerging. For us, it's really important. As a Chamber of Commerce, we're supporting the businesses in Shannon. We want Shannon to be an attractive place to live, work, and invest. And that, you know, will evolve with the plan in place. And I think the challenge is the funding that actually develops. The challenge will be the funding that will have to evolve to deliver the plan. But I think as a chamber, our key focus for the next few years, once that plan is delivered, or at least the master plan and the final draft are delivered, we'll have our finger on the pulse. And I can assure you other stakeholders, based on our dialogue with them and investors, will also like to see the plan delivered. And we've every confidence, based on the dialogue we've had with Brian McCarthy and the Clare County Council team, that we'll oversee the success of this plan in the next few years. So hopefully, Josh, we'll see some good things happening out of the plan.
Good stuff. I'm really looking forward to getting a look at that when it does come through all those processes. Helen Downes, CEO of Shannon Chamber, thanks very much for joining us on Clare Means Business.
Thanks, Josh.
Fingers crossed that Shannon Master Plan can do its work over the next number of years and make sure the area continues to thrive. And indeed, I'm sure we'd all love to be able to support the aviation industry and the economy in the region by being able to fly somewhere using our county's airport sometime soon, possibly even this summer. We'll keep our fingers crossed for that. Next here on the podcast, despite the pandemic, and we've just heard the challenges it's presented to many industries, 75% of Irish food SMEs expect revenue growth in the year ahead. That's according to research from Love Irish Food and PwC Research. And with me to discuss it is Love Irish Food Executive Director Kieran Rumley. So Kieran, in spite of this negativity and what's really been an unprecedented year or so, small food businesses are optimistic.
This is the second barometer that we've done in conjunction with PwC, the first being in late 2019, which was a very different world then. To say it's been a very challenging year for the food industry would be a major understatement. We've actually seen the two different aspects of response. We've seen the food industry that has a dependence on food service being disadvantaged significantly because that entire sector closed down. But the food producers that had brands within the retail network have done quite well out of the last year as more people eat at home. And that's very evident with Kantar work and research that's shown that there's something like 1 billion extra euro worth of groceries purchased in retail grocery in 2020 versus 2019. So you can get a very good picture of the switch that happened there as people began to eat at home.
We spoke recently on the podcast to a man, Evan Talty, here in West Clare, who's operating a business called Wild Irish Seaweed. And I suppose he was suggesting that the pandemic has actually, as you mentioned there, enabled growth in sectors in the likes of China and the US, where they had maybe a foot in the door in terms of retail. Is there almost a two-tiered system, if you like, in terms of the food industry and food SMEs then, in terms of those that maybe had their eggs in the restaurant basket, if you pardon the pun, and those that maybe would have diversified into retail, maybe getting on that bit better out of the pandemic?
Good point, because that relates to a piece of work that we actually did midpoint last year, where we were trying to assess from our membership what their performance was like and how they felt about the year and how it might outturn. And that's exactly what we got, which is a sense of there were two different nations, if you like, in terms of food producers, those that had dependence on food service and those that were wholly dependent on retail.
Do we foresee price increases potentially having an impact? I mean, we might get onto to Brexit in a second, but that's obviously impacted that side of things. Restaurants themselves, if businesses maybe have relied on that sector when they are reopened again, may well have to increase prices in certain respects, I suppose, in an attempt to take back some of the earnings they've lost as a result of closures. Do we foresee that having an impact on SMEs in the food sector as well, in terms of any potential price increase that may or may not happen in the next 12 months?
It's interesting, but from a different angle, if you like. We are seeing that there is an increasing burden of cost coming on producers, and it's coming from two aspects. The one aspect being to keep your production plant open, you have additional costs associated with COVID. And then the second element, just touching on the Brexit aspect, within the context of Brexit, there is a massive administrative cost if you are exporting. And remember that, you know, a very significant amount of Love Irish Food members would, from having a toe in the water to being a significant element, have an export relationship, particularly with the UK. And that has added very significantly to their cost burden administratively, in terms of how they handle their exports. Equally, within the context of the retail trade, the retailers themselves have had a very significant investment in COVID to make sure that shoppers can shop safely. So all of these are building, if you like, a funnel of cost, which will probably be unleashed in the form of price increases, not in any sort of tidal wave way, but gradually over the next 12 to 24 months.
Because I know in the barometer that we're speaking about, that I think it's around a quarter of businesses surveyed listed the UK as their main export market. And I think it was around 70% listed this country, Ireland, as their main market. Do you expect that figure in terms of those relying the most on Britain to fall in the coming months or coming into the autumn, as you mentioned there, and our businesses maybe looking to diversify their markets that bit more? I've spoken to businesses involved in the sector that maybe are looking to the US and to Asia in particular as well. Is that being looked at by SMEs?
Well, the interesting thing, Josh, is that when we looked at this as a question in 2019, 19% were in that category of, you know, where Britain was the primary market for growth for them. And in this situation, in this latest survey, it's as you say, nearer the quarter. So it's actually gone up in terms of the importance of the UK for Irish companies looking to grow. I would have said that it was unlikely to grow, but we've seen growth in that period of time. And you can't discount the fact that as people learn how to adapt within the context of the regulations, that, you know, they will continue to, if you like, pursue the market development that they have achieved over the number of years that they've been in the UK. You know, it takes an awful lot to walk away from a very big investment that you might have made in developing your brand, having a foothold in the UK. It's near enough, and we share the same language. So yeah, if you can get over the hump of the administration, you know, it's worth doing it.
And I suppose supports have been provided in the Brexit context, firstly, and obviously since the onset of the pandemic, many SMEs, particularly in the food sector, would have been forced to avail of things like the wage subsidy scheme. Employees may have been availing of the PUP, the CRIS scheme, that the list goes on. Are those supports that are in place for food SMEs now and for the rest of the year sufficient?
We have a long hill to climb in terms of economic recovery. You know, we have a technical unemployment level of around 25%, if you like. And if you look at the last crash, it was 15%. And if you look at 18 months ago, it was 5%. So yeah, we have a long way to go. And so supporting local is vital to the food service sector, whether and the retail food sector over the coming 24 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know consumers have been very much getting behind that Shop Local initiative here in Clare over the past year or so as well. Kieran Rumley, Executive Director from Love Irish Food, thanks very much for joining us on Clare Means Business.
Many thanks, Josh.
Yeah, some very interesting analysis there, and certainly food for thought, if you pardon the pun, for the future of the food sector in the months and years to come. And I'm sure many of those businesses Kieran was speaking about will be looking forward to the reopening of the hospitality sector this summer. Well, that brings to a close this episode of Clare Means Business, and we thank you very much for listening as always. Looking forward to chatting to you during another busy show next week, where we'll be speaking at length with Quinn man Tomás Ossiacón, who is heading up a really interesting new jobs initiative with the Western Development Commission. So really looking forward to chatting to Tomás then. In the meantime, stay safe, and we'll talk to you in 7 days' time.
You've been listening to an exclusive Clare FM podcast presented by Josh Prendeville. Log on each week to hear Clare Means Business.